Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go, hour number three, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is live right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Alonzo with you as we roll through the midweek edition of the broadcast. Halftime of the show, halftime of the week. Now, ordinarily, throughout the year, we're going to have our Greenville Swamp Rabbit update at 8:30. But when you get the head coach and the head coach says, hey, I got to do it at 8, I got meetings, I got skates, I got practices, I got boys I got to get trained up. I'm assuming he's got to get the shirt and tie pressed because we've got some home games this weekend. And my man's got maybe one of the most GQ looks when holding the clipboard at the crib. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joins us on the show. What up, coach?
How we doing? I don't know about GQ. That's a little much, but I appreciate the kind words.
It's
but,
crisp. Yeah, it's crisp. Here.
Crisp is good. I'll take crisp. Yeah, that's what we're going for.
We can work with that.
Is that what the kids these days say? Crisp? I'm just curious.
There's no world in which I know what the kids say these days. All right. Like, there is just not. Last night was the Habitat for Humanity Gala. Every year, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits put that event on the floor of the Bonscore Wellness Arena in conjunction with the arena. We had the players come out, the coaches come out, and they do different challenges that are asked of them by the tables who sponsored this event. And what I came to recognize last night as I was walking around, Kyle, talking to the fellas on the floor, kind of trying to let them know what's coming up, is that it takes a gift to be able to communicate with the youth of America, because they were tossing around lingo and jingo that left me in the backseat. And I'm only 39, man.
They're younger guys, so there's that, and then you know, mix that with the hockey lingo as well. So there's a lot of verbiage going around. But I thought you hung in there really well. I thought you did a nice job for yourself. So nobody would have known. I wouldn't have guessed it. So you kept up. So
fake it till you make it is without a doubt the best career advice I have for anybody in sports, bud.
Yeah, no, that's the key. That's number one. And once you got that down, then you know you're all set. So
Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. All right, coach, let's start off by talking about last weekend and specifically the two home games. I know we gotta kind of break them up because Saturday night was one thing and Sunday night was something totally different. So let's get the unpleasant part out of the way. 8-0 L to the Florida Everblades last Saturday evening. It was a bit of a shock. In your estimation and looking at it in the rearview mirror, getting some tape time down, et cetera, what happened in that game and what was the difference to turn it around and get a 3-2 win the next day over the exact same hockey squad?
Yeah, that was obviously just kind of one of those games. I thought we came out a little bit flat. You know, I just don't think we had the you know, kind of the energy that we needed, or just we weren't very sharp. You know, early on, you know, it was okay, not like a disaster early, but we just didn't quite have our game. You know, off the jump, and then, you know, things kind of just unraveled from there. Obviously, they get you know, a few consecutively, and you know, I think just the wheels kind of fell off, you know, and you know, a couple bounces here and there, and just again not having our game. You do that against a good team, you know, a really good team, and so I think you're kind of asking for trouble. So it was one of those nights where I just think we were, you know, once that starts to happen, you just start to fight it a little bit. You're gripping the stick too tight, and you know, we're just getting away from the things that we do well. So, you know, at that point and post game, it was less about, you know, what happened that night. And, you know, the only question that mattered to me and, you know, for the guys was, how do we respond? You know, the best thing about that night is we had a game the next day and we had that quick turnaround time. You don't want to have to sit with that for, you know, consecutive days. And so it's like, look, we're not going to sit around and dwell on this. We certainly want to think about what happened, but we want to use it and we want to make it, you know, we want to allow it to make us better somehow and not just, you know, sulk or feel sorry for ourselves. You know, and I thought we did that. I thought the guys turned around and really responded well on Sunday, which was awesome to see. Like, you never want to go through a game like that, but to be able to see that we can, you know, turn around, that we can respond from something as challenging as that was, it was a good sign for me. So, you know, looking at the positives, I think, you know, being able to come out of the weekend with a split and respond like that was certainly good to see.
Out of curiosity, and this is I think an opportunity for fans and handsome sports talk radio show hosts everywhere to learn from your perspective. What does the locker room sound like when you know you've taken a loss? It's one that's going to be talked about for a minute. You know, you got the game the next day. Do you kind of take the Ted Lasso approach of go in there and like, hey, fellas, be a goldfish, put this in the memory? Are you immediately jumping into here's what we saw that went wrong, et cetera? As a head coach, how do you handle a locker room in a moment like that?
Yeah, I mean, post game, you know, we did address the team, but it was very short and sweet. And again, it's it was just about response at that point. It was not about, you know, here's what we did wrong. You know, we have time in between periods to kind of go through some video and some X and O stuff. But post game, especially in a game like that, it was not at all about any of our systems or tactics or anything like that. It was just about, you know, what kind of team do you want to be, you know, when things don't go right, and what kind of, you know, teammate do you want to be? And even from a staff perspective, it's like, how can we be better? How can we as a team be better and make sure it doesn't happen? I mean, it's not a good feeling in the locker room after a game like that. And to answer your question, as far as what it sounds like, I mean, it's quiet. It's, you know, I would say introspective is kind of the word, where everybody's just kind of, you know, taking that metaphorical look in the mirror and figuring out what they got to do. So, you know, we addressed the group, you know, and just told them, hey, like tomorrow, you know, if that doesn't give you a wake up call, I don't know what does. So it was really just about moving forward. What's the response going to be? You know, and clearly, you know, guys took it to heart. And I think guys really took what happened Saturday personally, and guys were embarrassed. I mean, it was just one of those on home ice. You never want to have a performance like that. You never want to have a game like that. And, you know, guys took it to heart. And I think they answered the bell on Sunday.
I do want to get your thoughts on Sunday's game, 3-2. And we kind of know what Florida is, right? Like, this is a team that wants to play bully ball. They play very physical. To me, they've always struck me as a team that is, more than anything, going to try to throw you off your game. They're going to try to talk you into making stupid penalties and giving them extra power plays and take advantage of them. And the thing that I think I was impressed about Sunday was the composure of this team, Coach, because they were taking the lumps. They were not backing down, but it never really felt like you guys allowed Florida to change the philosophy of the game. And when you're coming off of a loss like Saturday, I think a lot of teams would, right? Like, I think a lot of teams would be ready to scrap, ready to swing. And it felt to me like you guys were going to stand up, we're going to play physical hockey, but we're not going to let the Everblades dictate the pace of the game. At least that was my perspective from an analyst guy standing outside the glass. Was that kind of the approach to Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, we certainly had to come out and set a tone early on Sunday, you know, and you just don't want it to, you don't want to leave it to chance in a game like that. So it was all about coming out, setting a tone, being really physical, being hard to play against. But, you know, again, like you said, there's certainly a balance there. We don't want to come out and run around, and, you know, it's not about gooning it up off the start. I mean, certainly if the game goes in that direction, you want to be able to answer, but that's not what we had planned on doing. It was really just about playing a really solid, you know, physical, a tough game. And I thought the guys really did that. And again, you're spot on with Florida. You know, they're experienced, they're older, they're good at playing, you know, kind of the game within the game, so to speak, as far as throwing teams off and just, you know, being able to get under a team's skin. But I thought we held it together really well. I thought the guys stayed really composed, you know, and it was good to see us capitalize on our chances when they got penalties and things like that. So, you know, I think ultimately the guys handled themselves, and it's an emotional moment in your season as well, coming off of a loss like that. So you want to use that emotion properly. You don't want to let it get the best of you, but you do want to play with emotion. You do want to play with a passion and with just kind of that, you know, that maturity of being able to take that moment and make the best out of it. So I thought the guys really did that. So I was really happy with, you know, our leadership and some of the older guys that have been around to lead the charge with that and bring some of the younger guys along. And, you know, I thought overall we said before the game we would need everybody and we got everybody. So, you know, I thought it was a really nice turnaround.
Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, let's take a look ahead. Big weekend for you guys this weekend. And we'll start with just the setup of the weekend, Coach. You got a Friday nighter against the cross-state rival, the Stingrays, coming to the house away from Charleston on the road down at Savannah on Saturday, and then you spin it back around for an afternoon puck drop at the crib on Sunday. Before we get into the specifics of not just playing three games, but three games against three different teams in three different locations in the way, how do you guys handle, in whichever aspect you think is the most important to talk about, having a three-game set with a roadie in the middle, meaning you're finishing Friday, you're getting on a bus. You're finishing Saturday, you're getting on a bus. You guys got to worry about equipment and guys getting the right amount of sleep and guys getting the right food and getting the opportunity to do the walkthroughs and the game planning and all that. For Kyle Mountain, how does this type of weekend work?
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of logistics. It's a lot of prep. So, you know, it's one of those weeks where, you know, it's a big workload. So with our staff, we've really just tried to go into this week really organized. Obviously, from a more hockey operations standpoint, you know, just being buttoned up with all our travel plans, all the meals, like you said, everything, you know, getting all that lined up just so we don't have to worry about it and there's no surprises. And then from the, you know, the hockey standpoint, the coaching standpoint, you know, it's a ton of prep. So it's, you know, reviewing our past weekend, making sure we hit what we need to with the team, with our individual, you know, video and meetings, and then with our small group or our special teams meetings, things like that. You know, and then prepping for three different and three, you know, very good opponents. So, you know, a lot of time and work goes into our pre-scouts and my staff, Adam Dowda and River Pease. Those guys do a really, really good job with our pre-scouts, and they're, you know, they're pretty comprehensive. They're time consuming, but they're necessary for sure. So it's one of those weeks, and I won't compare it. I know I hear a lot of, you know, when an NFL team has to go and play, you know, a Sunday game and then turn around and play a Thursday game, and they just got to cram, you know, basically a week's worth of work into a couple days. It's not too dissimilar as far as just being able to, you know, get three opponents lined up, get our pre-scouts done, get all of our prep work done in just a condensed amount of time. So, you know, there's just a lot of organization communication that goes into it, but, you know, we're chipping away at it and we'll be ready to go for the weekend.
All right, let's talk about game number one, Friday night at the house, taking on the South Carolina Stingrays. That team is on top of the table right now, 9-2-1, 19 points. You guys sitting 10th with 11 points. This feels like a massive opportunity. If you can take 3 points here, close that gap down to 5, that puts you somewhere up around 6th, 7th on the table. This game, on the outside looking in, Kyle Mountain, this game feels like one of those ones that, you know, you circle some games in red before the season starts. I think anytime South Carolina comes to the house is one of those times. But specifically now, it feels like it's got some big-time stakes on it.
Yeah, it does for sure. They're playing really good hockey right now. So I think for us, it's a huge challenge, but a huge opportunity, like you said. So it's always a really competitive game with them. It's always physical. It's always fast. You know, and they're you know, they're playing some of their best hockey of the year right now. So I think for us, you know, it's a really good opportunity to, you know, put the work in this week and you know, prepare as best as we can. But we're excited. I mean, you know, last two times we've played them at their place, you know, we've fallen short. You know, we were able to take one from them early in the year at the Well. So I think that home ice is huge for us in a matchup like this. So we're looking forward to getting the crowd behind us and, you know, having that fuel our, you know, our performance. But it's going to be a really good game. It's going to be really competitive. Again, they're playing some great hockey right now. You know, so we'll see how things go, but we'll have the guys ready, and I know they're excited.
And then set us up for Sunday, 3:05. You have got the Jacksonville Icemen representing the worst city in America, Jacksonville, Florida. Kyle, that's a personal issue. We can talk about it later. The Iceman coming to the crib. Another team that is currently sitting right around you guys. In fact, tied with you. 11 points on the table right now. Another one of those games that, man, like, you want to start separating from the teams at the bottom. You want to make sure the teams at the top are within striking distance at any given point. So this feels, and you do have the game against Savannah wedged in the middle, but this game, this weekend, concluding with Jacksonville, it kind of feels like this is a definition weekend, like an opportunity for the Swamp Rabbits to truly establish, hey, maybe we're a little further down on the table we'd like, but hey, we're 3 weeks into the season. Let's go define who we are. So with that opportunity in front of you, Kyle, how's this weekend shake up for you? Oh, did we lose Coach? Yeah, I think we lose Coach. I got to tell you, if you're going to lose Kyle Mountain, that's a hell of a face on the stream to lose him.
It is, for sure. Yeah.
All right, we'll see if we can get Coach lined back up here in just a minute. If we do, we'll finish our talk. But yeah, I mean, first off, phenomenal dude. What an easy cat to talk to. What an easy guy to talk to. And on top of that, got the opportunity to talk to him last night. Like, this dude is driven. This dude cares. This dude wants this team to be good. He's 100% the dude that, like, when he says that he's up, all right, I think we got him back. Coach, do we have your
letter?
Yeah, there we go. We lost you for a second. All right, got about a minute, Coach. So like I said, I think this is an incredible opportunity of a weekend for you guys to kind of define yourself, to kind of let the rest of the Southern Division know exactly who you are and where you stand. How do you get the guys ready for what does not feel like a regular three-game weekend?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the guys are ready. We're coming off a good win Sunday. And, you know, ultimately any division games, like, you've got to be ready to go. And they're huge points, you know. So whether it's early in the year or late in the spring, I mean, these points matter. These matchups matter. So we're going to have the guys ready to go. We've had a really good week so far, and we'll close it out today and tomorrow with all of our preparation. And, you know, we've got the guys ready for 3-3. I mean, we've got depth, you know, if and when needed. And so guys are ready to step up and get a job done this weekend. But it's going to be some really good hockey. It's going to be some hard-fought battles this weekend. And I know the guys are pumped for it, so it should be fun.
Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bits are back at the crib this weekend on Friday night as they welcome the cross-state rival South Carolina Stingrays. They will run it back at 3:05 on Sunday when the Jacksonville Icemen come a-calling. Coach, I'm going to be honest with you, man. If you could just go beat Jacksonville like 15-0, I'd feel real good about that, bud.
Like, there's something personal going on there, man. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah.
I hope you have time, because it'll take them a while.
I'm trying to be a professional here, Kyle Mountain, but I repeatedly refer to that city as the butthole of America, and I'm not embarrassed about it, even when I am trying to be a professional.
All right, I can't wait for the story. Should be a good one.
We'll see. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. My man, great to see you last night. Appreciate all you do for the team and the community. Good luck this weekend, big dog. We'll see you on the ice.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Any and every time. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Well, Lonzo and I come back. We spin the wheel of football, take a look at the NFL teams and sort them into four categories. Super Bowl contenders, playoff threats, outside looking in, and bad football teams. We'll do that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to try a new spin on a game that Lonzo and I have been playing. Like that is spin. It's a wheel. Spin.
I golf clapped.
Yeah.
I know you couldn't hear it, but yeah.
So this is how this game works. On the old Tablet of Truth, I have drawn out a grid with 32 blank spaces in it. Four columns of eight spaces. We are going to rank the 32 teams in the NFL as they come up in a randomly generated order on the wheel. With one exception, Lonzo and I both agree that the Detroit Lions are the number one team in the NFL right now in terms of power ranking. But I'm gonna try something new. We're gonna play a little different. Just see if it works. Sometimes things don't work. What do you want? That's what practice is for. Instead of just putting them into the four categories, Lonzo, of Super Bowl threat, outside threat, meh, and bad, we're actually going to rank them within those columns, right? So if you want to go Super Bowl threat, but like number seven in the list. Super Bowl threat at number two in the list, maybe we say about Buffalo. I don't know, Kansas City, whoever. Bad? Yeah, tell me who the worst team is. Number eight in the bad category. We are going to put them in the order within those four columns. Here we go. Our first spin, we have already gotten the Detroit Lions eliminated because we both think they're number one. How about this one? Great one. Would you like to go first or second before I tell you the team that was spun first?
I'll go first.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, what were the categories again?
Super Bowl threat, outside threat, meh, or bad.
Okay, as of now, I'm going to have to go with Super Bowl threat.
I think that's fair. Now, are you putting them at number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8?
I'm going to go with 5.
5. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. They get the win over Baltimore this weekend. I think they have to go there. I am not going to push back. Lonzo and I both get one overrule. If he puts a team somewhere on this grid that I hate, I get to overrule it and move them. And same thing for him. If I put someone somewhere he hates, he gets to overrule and move them. Let's spin the old NFL wheel. The next team up, the Dallas Cowboys. A great one. I am going to say not only are they bad, but I am going to put them at number 6 in the bad category. I think I got two teams off the top of my head I would be willing to say are worse right now. We will find out if you agree or disagree when we get there. But I am going to move the Dallas Cowboys to the 6th position in the bad category. Here we go. Spin the wheel round and round and round she goes. And Lonzo, we land on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Super Bowl, outside threat, meh. Or bad?
They're probably going to win the South.
I know, I don't like this one either.
They're probably going to win the South, but maybe. I don't know. I'm going to go with meh, I guess.
1 through 8.
1.
You know what? I actually agree with that. They're too banged up. I think they can get better. They are going to win the South, which makes them a threat, but is anybody afraid of the Bucs in the NFC South if they win that division? Which, by the way, I am not prepared to guarantee or even come close to it. All right, we spin the wheel. Round and round and round she goes. We come to the Arizona Cardinals. This team is very interesting to me, great one, because on one hand, this is a football team that is 6-4. But they do have losses to the Lions, the Commanders, the Packers, and the Bills. However, they are on a 4-game win streak. I am going to say the Cardinals, though. I'm actually going to put them as a threat, but I'm going to put them in, let's say, spot number 7 on the outside threat category.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. By the way, I sent you a video of Kyler Murray eating pizza with some dude.
I really want to watch that. I really do. All right, we spin the wheel. Lonzo up next. We are going to go with the Cleveland Browns.
Bad.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but where? 8, 7.
See, this is hard.
Now you got to start. I know, now we got to start thinking.
It's them and the Giants.
The Giants are on this list.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7.
7. Second to worst team in the NFL.
Because I know who I think is worse.
Okay, so that's fair. And we got Dallas checked in at 6 right now. We eliminate the Browns from the wheel, and we spin it one more time again. This one, my pick, and we are going to go with the Denver Broncos, this team is suddenly very, very interesting. They had a, not just a win, a big one. They dominated the Atlanta Falcons 38-6, but they did lose to the Ravens convincingly and the Chiefs, which nobody beats convincingly, the Kansas City Chiefs. You just kind of lose to them non-convincingly or sneak by them. Literally, if you are Josh Allen, the Denver Broncos are 6-5. They are third place in the West. I'm going to put them at meh right now, because they have lost two out of the last three, but the one they won was dominating.
There's a good shot that the AFC West gets three teams in the playoff.
It is a possibility. I'm going to say good shot, possibility. Lonzo, I am going to put them at number four in the... I'm going to put them at number four in the meh category. They are just one game over 500. Now, if Bo Nix comes out and throws for another 303 touchdowns coming up this week, if the Broncos come up and stack wins against the Raiders, Browns, Colts, and they go into that Chargers game in a 4-1 win streak, I think we bump them up to threat. But I'm not ready to get there yet.
Would you actually give the coach a little credit then if they were...
I kind of have to, don't I?
All right.
I would kind of have to at that point. But you got to go win. You got to win three of the next three against bad teams. All right, we spin the wheel once again. This one, Lonzo, and you get... Ooh... The Cincinnati Bengals. This team's tough. This team's tough. Joey B's out there tossing for 390 yards and four touchdowns loss.
This is the team overall.
Yes, it is. They are four and seven.
You look at the record. There's so many bad teams. We can't. We're going to have to put some in the meh category.
Yep. You have two teams in the meh category, two in the bad, one in the threat, two in the Super Bowl column.
I'm going to go with meh.
Okay. You want to put them where on that list? Spots 1 and 4 are eaten up.
I'm going to go with 8.
Okay. Last in the meh category. Because
they're right on the edge of, I mean, they win two more games and suddenly you're like, okay, they're back and they got a shot.
I don't like that, but I don't like it not enough to use my override there.
So hard.
I would have put them probably closer towards the... Probably the middle of the meh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd have moved them up a little bit. That's all right. We spin it and we move on. Got time for maybe two more in this, and then we'll extend this. Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, to me, great one. This team is another one that is very interesting because this is an Eagles team that at the beginning of the year, like we were all ready to march on Philly and hunt down Nick Sirianni, but now the Eagles are 8-2. They're on a 5-game win streak. Granted, it ain't a super... 6-game win streak. It ain't all that impressive. It's the Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jags, Cowboys, and Commanders. But they were in charge of the Commanders. Lonzo, I'm going to put the Eagles. I'm going to say number one. No, you know what? I'm going to say number 7 in the Super Bowl category. I think they've played that well in a 6-game win streak. It's not impressive. It's not blowing you away. But any NFL team that strings 6 together has got something going.
I'm
going
to agree with you. The other thing is the NFC is not that strong.
That's also true.
And somebody has to go in there. And they are on a 6-game winning streak. You're right.
All right. We got time for one more. Lonzo's last pick of this segment. We'll carry it over into the next. The Houston Texans. Lonzo, CJ Stroud and the gang. The Texans, of course, went to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, and rocked the boys on a little Monday night football. But they lost two in a row, one of those to the New York Jets before that. They've also lost to the Packers and the Vikings back when the Vikings were good. Where did the Texans fall, great one?
I'm going to put them on the outside.
Okay, putting them in the threat category?
Yeah,
and
threat.
1 through 6 or 8th?
I'm going to go with 8th.
Putting them last in the threat category?
Yeah, because, I mean, they're good, but they're not great, and they've shown signs of regression.
That's fair.
And then they'll come back and win like they did last week, so I'm not quite sure about that.
That's not unfair. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back, we will spend the rest of the hour finishing this up. I want your thoughts on this as well. Who are we putting in the wrong place? Super Bowl? Outside threat? Meh. Or bad? And where in those power rankings do these teams deserve to go? If you've got any feedback, any thoughts, text at 71307. Start your text with fan or join us on the live stream. Join the chat. My man James has said that 7 is fair in the Super Bowl threat for Philly. He's a Philly fan. I agree. We'll take your thoughts when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, Lonzo and I spinning the wheel of NFL teams and placing them into four categories. Super Bowl contender, outside threat, meh, or bad, and power ranking the teams within that. The problem is we don't know which order the teams are coming up in. So we spin the wheel, Lonzo. I believe that I am up next. We both still have our override. The next team up, are the Miami Dolphins. This team got themselves a win. They were able to put some points up on the board, but it's also a team that's 4-6. I'm going to say this, great one. I actually am going to put this team, knowing full well you have your override and you just shook your head vigorously. I shook my head
because what a hard choice this is going to be.
Yeah, this one's interesting. And you may disagree with me on this. I'm going to put them right ahead of Arizona in the threat category. I'm not dead. I don't think this team's dead by any stretch of the imagination. And while they do not have a path to win the division up against a 9-win Buffalo team, I do think this team has found a little bit of momentum. And listen to the schedule coming up. They've got the Patriots, the Packers on the road, the Jets, the Texans on the road. I actually think they match up well with the Texans. I think they match up well with the Packers, unlike the Bears. They will destroy the Jets, who just fired their general manager. They will destroy the Patriots this weekend. This team's going to be 8-6 4 weeks from now, and that is around where you need to be that last wild card spot. I think I'm going to put them in the threat category right ahead of Arizona.
Yeah,
I think you put Houston too low now that I look at it.
Yeah, I completely disagree with you on this. I do.
Are you using the override? You have it.
Okay, so if I use it, what happens?
You move them anywhere else on the board you want to.
Okay, I'm using my override.
Okay, where are the Miami Dolphins going for you?
They are going in meh.
Okay. In the meh category, we have spots 2-3, and then 5, 6, and 7.
Seven.
Putting Miami 7th.
This all comes down to the health of the quarterback. We've seen what happens when he's not there, and he's out there making tackles with his head. He is not making it through the end of the season. I hope he does. But
so do I. We'll find out. All right. We're putting Miami 7th in the MAC category. Lonzo has utilized his override. He has no moss. Let's spin the wheel. Great one. You are up with the New York Football Giants.
I don't care if I didn't have my mic on. Last. Bad. Last.
I mean, we'll check back in after Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, it's not going to be any different.
Tommy DeVito!
Still bad.
Who, by the way, was third on the QB depth chart behind Drew Lock, who they're paying $5.5 million to be the backup. Tommy DeVito is making like $75 a game to be their third string quarterback, and they went straight to him. Do you know why? This team's trying to lose now. This is a tank job in process.
Or they're trying to prove how bad Daniel Jones was. They're jumping to the third string and showing that the third string can win with this team.
I mean, we'll find out. I think it's a tank job, which is why I am not going to use my exception for you putting the Giants dead last on the table. We spin it again. I am up, and my team is the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, let's go ahead and drop them. I don't know that they are better than Dallas one spot ranked ahead, because that's the lowest remaining slot on the table, but they're not very good.
If they went head-to-head, who would you pick?
Probably Dallas, to be honest with you. Not by much. All right, we spin it again. Lonzo now up. We had filled out the entire bottom four of the bad slot, the Baltimore Ravens, Lonzo.
Why would I get this team? I can't stand this team. They're contenders. I mean, yeah, they're of course.
Spot 2, 3, 4, 6, or 8?
You're going to override me. I'm going to go 6.
Because
head-to-head with the better teams, how well do they do? They lost to Pittsburgh. They lost to Kansas City. What do they do in the playoffs? They lose.
See, I'm trying to think of who we haven't picked. I know Kansas City's got to go in there. I know Buffalo's got to get in there. You put them behind Pitt, but they just lost to Pitt. Is that there's a spot for one more team? We already have Detroit on there. I think I know who I might slot in there, and you might fight me on that one too, but we'll see.
Well, I don't have an override anymore, so it doesn't
Correct.
Matter.
Correct. Let's spin the wheel. Next up for me, the Carolina Panthers. Zoe, fight me on this. I'm going to put them as the second to the top team in the bad category. I think there's a few teams left that I am willing to say right now are playing worse football than the Panthers are, who have won two in a row going into the bye.
Okay, right now. I would love to be
right now. This is
I would
right
love
now.
To be doing this next week to find out what they do against Kansas City.
That is also true. Yeah. That is also is that a measuring stick? If they go out there and they lose by four to Kansas City, do we go they've stepped up or we go that's the Chiefs?
Yeah, it's the Chiefs. Yeah,
that's fair.
You're right.
All right, Carolina eliminated from the wheel, second to the top in the bad category. Lonzo, your next team up is the New York Football Jets. I'm so glad you got this one. I really am.
What slots are left in the bad?
One, three, or four.
Well, I guess we're going with four then.
I think you have to go with four. And honestly, I think the Pooch have been screwed because this team does not deserve to be there. I would put this team behind Tennessee. I'd probably put this team behind Dallas, to be honest with you.
All right, so I think it's a toss-up if they played either one of those teams.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, let's spin the wheel. My next team up, the Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bum. Hold with me. Team had an impressive win run, 7-2 out of the gate. But of those seven, six were against bad teams. They go up against Philly. They get smacked around a little bit. Jaden Daniels is now in his rookie year. He is now known. There is now tape. He is going to catch back up. Lonzo, I am going to put the Commanders in the number five spot in the outside threat category.
Wow, I'm surprised you didn't put them up higher. Because as far as the NFC goes, they're still, I mean, they're right up there.
They are. You know what? I am. I haven't taken my finger off the chess piece yet. I'm going to put them number two in the threat category. I'm going to put them number two in the threat category.
That might be a little high, but still, I think they're a threat.
That's fair. All right. The Las Vegas Raiders, Lonzo, you've got number one and three in the bad category. You've got two, three, five, and six in the man category.
Why do I get all the bad stuff?
I don't know.
I'm going to go this three in the bad, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's
all right.
That's
so this
stinks.
It should be lower, but
team stinks. I know. The bad category got filled up real quick. All right. My pick, we're spinning the wheel, and we end up with the Chicago number one of the bad category. Bad category's filled, kids. That's it. Every team left has to go into meh or better.
Or better. Okay.
Actually, looking at the wheel, there's two teams that I think we could have done better with, but we'll find out. All right, spinning the wheel. Lonzo up next. Does he catch one of those two teams? He does not. Lonzo, your Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, what is what's left
in the Super Bowl category? You have spots two, three, four, and eight.
Okay. I know they just lost to Buffalo, and it's going to bother some people. Maybe you override with me, but that's fine. I'm going to.
I do override. I can't do it. I'm putting them at number four. You've won everything but
wow.
one.
They lost one
you've
game.
You've impressed in none of them.
Okay.
But are you impressed by the wins? Because these other teams like Detroit, I'm impressed by Detroit.
Were you impressed by any win last year?
For you? No, but this isn't a team's most likely to win the Super Bowl. It's right now.
Right,
what do they look
like? What I'm saying is you would never be impressed because of the style of play
they play.
That's
fair.
So.
That's fair. I'm not saying they're not a favorite, but they are. All right, Indianapolis Colts, great one. I am going to put the Colts. I'm actually going to put the Colts because they looked a lot better this week. It was a close win. Anthony Richardson looked like he grew up. I am going to put the Colts right ahead of Arizona in the threat category.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, dude. That's got to be mad.
I think you've got a run game you can lean on, and I think they have to figure that out. All right, fine. I'll move them to the man category. You talked me out of it. I think that might be my bias.
See, the advantage is you can see the wheel, and I have to go through my mind and try to figure out who's left.
We'll do this. I'm going to figure out a way to do this on screen next week. I think we can do it on screen next week.
Oh, that'd be better.
Yeah, I think we can do it on screen next week. Let's put Indy. You know what? Let's put Indy right behind Denver in the Met category. What do you think about that? Let's put them fifth.
That works.
All right, let's put them fifth. All right, we got to sprint through some of the rest of these. We do have the Lions still on the board, though they are already consensus number one. Lonzo, the Minnesota Vikings. You've got Matt, two, three, and six, and then you've got a bunch of spots open at threat, and you have two, three, and eight left for Super Bowl.
Wow, they were so promising at the beginning. Now I'm not, I don't, I'm going to go Matt, too.
Man number two,
You can't change it, so.
God, they're 8-2.
Yeah, I'm still going Matt too.
I should have saved my override. This is absolutely an override.
I'm still going Matt too.
I do not
believe in Minnesota.
Way too low for an 8-2 team, man. Their losses, one of them is to the Lions.
We need to rush through, remember?
I really want to fight about this one. All right, we eliminate them. We roll on with the wheel.
Should have moved my team to 4.
Yeah, I should have. I should have left them. Detroit, we've already got Detroit on the list at number 1 overall. We eliminate them. We spin it again. Little less time for justification of picks. Seattle Seahawks, I am going to put at... I'll tell you what, after this win over San Francisco this weekend, let's put them number 4 in the threat category. I'm suddenly find myself as a believer in Geno in the clutch. Lonzo, the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, man, this stinks.
You have 3-6 in May. You have 1-3, 5-6 in threat.
I'm going to go 3 May.
Okay. I mean, it's hard to argue after what they did, or should I say, did not do this weekend against the Broncos.
Although I do like you not having to say the word Kirko ever again.
Buffalo Bills going number 2 in the Super Bowl category.
Oh, look at you. You're all happy.
I was waiting
that.
For Josh Allen. Running out of teams here. Just a few left to select from. Great one. You get the L.A. Rams. Yeah. You got 1 mess spot open left. You got 4 threats that are 1-3.
Wow, so everything after, if I go meh, everything is a contender. What's the last thing in contender?
Contender right now is number 6.
I'm going to go contender 6.
I don't hate it. Puka Nacua is still a dog. Cooper Kupp is still a dog. You got to save that mass spot because there's one team that does not deserve it, which means that with my pick, the New England Patriots. Oh, God, we have screwed up. We have screwed up tremendously. God, New England's going to end up in the threat category ahead of the Rams, Arizona, and Houston.
I thought there was one left in May. You're not going to put them
there
in
there? There is, but there's one more team on there that's an even bigger disaster than the Patriots. And if you don't know who they are off the top of your head, that means you're going to land on them on this spin, but you don't. The LA Chargers.
Definitely a contender. What numbers are left?
3-8.
Oh, this pains me. 3.
3 for the damn Chargers.
Have you seen them playing lately?
I think you're a little high, but we do have 4 teams left to go, and we are just about out of time. The Green Bay Packers, threat, and I will put, you know what? I'm going to put them at threat 3 because there's one team left I think goes above them.
3 for the Chargers.
You did in Super Bowl. Outside threat.
All right.
The New Orleans Saints, Lonzo. You can have them meh. You can have them top of the threat or bottom of the Super Bowl list.
I'm going to go meh.
I know you are. You know what that hilariously means? That hilariously means with 2 teams left to play, one of us has to be the jerk that says, and of course it's me, the Jet. No, I'm ending the game because I'm not riding Jacksonville down anywhere that we have left. I'm not doing it. This is a tough game because of this reason
right
here.
What 2 teams were left?
Jacksonville and San Francisco.
Okay. Well, San Francisco obviously better, so they would have to go better than Jacksonville.
Which puts the Jags at the top of threat level midnight. All right, see why this game sucks sometimes?
Wow.
It's fun in that you get to justify picks, but then you end up with the Jags as a top. This is why I was leaving that mass spot that you put New Orleans in, because right now who's a bigger threat, New Orleans or Jacksonville?
Darren
Rizzi and his 2-0 Saints.
New Orleans, for
right?
sure. Yeah, so they can still win the South, yeah.
Yeah, and this is why we need to do it on the screen, because if I would have pointed out that Jacksonville's still on the wheel, you would have had to move New Orleans to the threat column, without a doubt. They're not, but you'd have had to. All right, there you go. There's our game. I'd ask what we got wrong, but the answer is most of the chart.
It's not most of the, just the last couple.
Now, sure. Power ranked number 1 in the sports flash is the great one, Lonzo.
Speaking of rankings, the college football playoff rankings dropped last night. Oregon maintains their hold on number 1, followed by Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, and undefeated Indiana in the top 5. Notre Dame, Alabama, Miami, Ole Miss, and Georgia finish out the top 10. Boise State at number 12 would receive a bye in the rankings holds, if the rankings holds in the playoff. Colorado checks in at number 16, one spot ahead of 17 Clemson, who is just one spot above the mighty South Carolina Gamecocks at 18. New York Jets fired general manager Joe Douglas after a 3-8 start to the season. The move comes 6 weeks after the team fired former head coach Robert Saleh. The Jets were 30-64 under Morgan's leadership with no winning seasons and no playoff appearances. The second worst winning percentage in that stretch of the NFL. So tonight, 6:30, as the Furman Paladins take on the Oglethorpe Stormy Petrels. It's Furman versus Oglethorpe right here on the Fan Upstate.